Hello, and welcome back to this five-part podcast series for the Family Contact Improvement Partnership, or FCIP. Today, for our fourth episode, we're discussing true partnership with parents around family contact planning and decision-making. I'm Kristen Clark, and I'm a social worker in Alaska, and I'm joined again by my co-host, Emily Houck.
Hey, Kristen, glad to be here. My name is Emily Houck, and I'm also a social worker in Alaska.
Partnership with parents is so important when we're talking about good outcomes for children and families.
So I guess we need to talk a little bit about what partnerships mean. Partnerships are great if you start working with the parents because it lays out their expectations and it kind of gives them some buy-in into their case and how their cases go and their contact. You know, how do you want to be with your children today kind of thing? And it used to be you didn't do that. It used to be this is how it is. You come in, you see your kids and you leave.
In the past, I think you're right. I think a lot of times parents would be brought in and kind of just told what to do, and expectations were set for people. And so is planning, right? Where you're really giving somebody just a plan that someone else has created, where partnership is really about ensuring that the people who are involved in the case are the experts of their case and that they're truly the ones guiding the process and helping figure out where they need support and what they want things to look like so that they can be in control. Our first guest today is Rebecca Peterson, a mom who has had her children removed from her home twice by the Office of Children's Services. Her story is really unique because her two experiences with the system were completely different, and so were the outcomes. The first time she had a child removed from her home, she was not engaged as a partner. She really wasn't allowed to have connection with her daughter or the foster family. And with the second removal, she felt like she was actually engaged as a partner in the process, and the outcomes were completely different for her family.
Yeah, her story makes it so clear on how important it is to engage the parents throughout the process. It makes the experience better for the children, and it increases the likelihood of reunification.
Hi, I'm Rebecca. I am the mom of four children. I have had a lot of experience in my adult life as a parent with, kind of getting my life back on track. I lost parental rights in 2012 to my oldest daughter from substance abuse issues. It took me quite a long time to get my life back on track, close to 8 years. It was very hard going from being that constant person in my son's life to leaving the home and now what do I do, you know? So basically it took some time to get things in place, like treatment, starting treatment and such. My husband has been my rock. He and I had our issues with substance abuse together, and we got clean together and have been working the program ever since. We were asked to leave the home. My husband and I were asked to leave the home where my son was knows as home. We were able to leave our son with his grandmother. Initially, there was no family contact. It took about a month before we were able to start up our visits. It was really hard. I remember we made lots of phone calls. We were on the phone all the time. My son was 18 months when this happened, so he was still pretty young, but he was able to engage a little bit with us on the phone. We spoke to grandma constantly. She had so many questions at first, like, you know, what is he like in his bottle? How do you make it so his diaper doesn't fall out? You know, just different things. So we just helped parent over the phone. So then we were able to start seeing him at our visits, and in our son's eyes, we are still our parents, that he was really confused on, you know, what was going on. So we just had to really focus on spending good quality time together as a family and playing and just trying to just take him in as much as possible. But also knowing that visit was going to end in an hour and to be prepared of how hard it's going to be, not showing the tears and, you know, I don't want him to go type of thing. You had to be strong. So that was something we worked on every single visit. It was hard. I'm not gonna say it wasn't. It was very hard, but it was great once the momentum was going, that we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. We had to have a united front with my husband's grandmother, who had full-time care of our son. It was very necessary to be on the same page, to be positive, to make our time count. She went out of her way to try it to make it so my son didn't miss us so much, because it was pretty hard on him. But I've also had the experience where my daughter, she went into foster care, and I didn't talk to her. I didn't know anything that was going on with her. I didn't get to share anything with her, and it just made that void in my soul bigger and bigger and bigger every day that went by. I prayed that she was in good hands. I hoped that she was with responsible caregivers, but I didn't know. It was hard. So it was wonderful this last go around when we did have that support, and it felt like there was a bigger team. We were allowed certain things. Where we started being able to figure out our own visits was a good 3 to 4 months down the road after we had been proving ourselves. But when that did occur, our grandma was so happy. She was begging the OCS worker to please allow more visits. I remember the day that they said that we were allowed to move back home. She literally did a happy dance. She was so excited, so happy. And we just had that. She was like a cheerleader in the background, and it was so great. It was, that support was so needed. I know that children, they are so smart, and they can really pick up on things. Even if it's not being said right in front of them, they can feel. And when there is disruption in a child's life, they almost become more sensitive to feelings, and they can feel when adults aren't acting the way that they should. So I just encourage anytime anybody's involved in any of this process, it doesn't have to be detrimental to that child. It could be as pleasant as you make it. I would encourage workers to know that parents love their children, and it will show through in their visits and other ways that they connect. Support on all levels is what got me through my situation. But the most important relationship was the rock that I had from my husband. He absolutely held my hand and helped me get through it. I didn't have that the first go around, but I did the second, and it made all the difference in the world. I just love and enjoy being a parent. Nothing is more fulfilling than waking up and taking care of two little people, four little people. And it's hard because I've kind of got a difficult, story, but I was able to rectify it, I feel. And I'm blessed because my oldest daughter, who went through the brunt of it, has forgiven me and loves me, and we are working daily on repairing our relationship. I was able to spend my first Christmas with my 11-year-old in 9 years, and it absolutely was the joy of my life. Every day is a blessing that I get to have my children with me, and I finally get to show up being a parent, the parent that I was meant to be.
So after hearing Rebecca's story, you can definitely hear that she had two different experiences with each time that her children were removed. The first time, she did not have support. She did not know what was going on. Nobody helped her through the process. She had no choices. The second time, she had more choices. She knew kind of what she needed to do, and she did have the support. She talks often about the grandmother, and that goes into the true partnership. If the foster parent or kinship placement is on board, it is going to be successful.
And I think that she really highlights how important it is for the child during this process as well. So, I mean, when a child is removed from their home, there's a lot of research that talks about how much that can impact a child, and the need for consistency and stability in routine and connection to their caregivers. And so having family contact is not, something that is earned by parents or used as a way to say, you can get this, more of this, or you're going to get less of this, right? But a need for all of the family members to help them remain stable, to help with some of those emotions that she was talking about that are so heightened during a stressful event. Really having that stability and that connection continue helps alleviate some of that ambiguous loss along with other stressors. Hearing from a parent perspective is really powerful. We also wanted to hear from an agency perspective about this issue. So for our second guest, we invited Brooke Antonich from the Office of Children's Services, or OCS.
And this will definitely give a different perspective on how OCS, the Office of Children's Services, has moved from that initial mentality of you get 1 hour a week. If you do good, we might give you some more. And use that carrot and stick approach instead of now, where you know you should get that more frequent contact. And they are moving towards that. But I'm interested to hear her perspective on this move.
I am Brooke Antonich. I'm a family services supervisor for the Office of Children's Services in the Wasilla and the Gocona field office. I started out as a family services caseworker and then went to licensing as a supervisor, circled back around to family services as a supervisor. Family partnership can be difficult. It does have a lot of challenges. If we're working with a family and for a family, we're including them on everything that we do. The family knows themselves the best. They know what's best for them. They know what's best for their kids. They happen to be in a crisis moment at the time. And so for us to step in and truly partner with them is being transparent. It's including them on decision-making. It's asking them what is going to help preserve their family unit. And again, the importance of that is we don't know the family. So we need the family to be included in all the things so that we can best figure out how to serve them, where to serve them, and how to get them all back together in a safe, cohesive unit. When it's successful, you know, what that looks like is the foster parent is doing some bridge parenting with the bio family to help them, coach them, meet them where they're at in their parenting at that moment and build them up. So encouraging them to keep moving forward, you know, leaving out the biases and the judgments of what may have happened in the past, or even maybe what's happening in the current situation, but to coach them on how to move forward. As far as a caseworker or our own OCS staff partnering with the family, we are meeting with them and talking with them about what are your goals? What do you want to see out of this process? And how do you think we can get there? So we're asking them, what do you want to see happen? What do you want to do to better your family and better yourself? And how can we help get you there? And when the parents talk about goals and talk about things that they, outcomes that they want to see out of the whole process, we then say, okay, let's help build a roadmap to get there. To partner with a parent, again, to include community providers and foster parents, it not only helps the children with their everyday coping and well-being of being in the foster care system, it helps them see what their parents are doing and how they're doing. It helps them feel more settled when they go to sleep at night, knowing that, hey, my mom or my dad or both have a good relationship with either the relative that I'm with or the foster parent that I'm with. And then I'm going to see them when I go to my dentist appointment or my doctor's appointment. I'm going to see them at a parent-teacher meeting for school. So all of those little tiny meetings, different kinds of appointments, all the things that have to do with well-being are super important for what that partnership looks like. It's a lot to ask of foster parents. Foster parents are essentially volunteers. And it's one of the hardest jobs that there is to be a foster parent. And when they open their you know, maybe even just their schedules, not even necessarily their home, but if they can do that, there is such an amazing success with kids and parents and how they can function as a family and what that parent can learn, and to see them shift into being more motivated, becoming more empowered, showing up more, doing more things, making more progress when they're included, you know, in that partnership. And that really goes a long way for parents and for the children. As far as our staff, OCS, and the caseworkers, the support staff, the supervisors, again, it's just really important to keep trying to empower the family and reaching out, even if it's difficult, even if the family wants to push away or reject. Continuing to show them that we are here to help and we do want to help them put their family back together, and making sure that that message is clear for them is crucial in engagement, relationship building, sustaining the relationship, and again, hopefully for that outcome that we want to see in the end, even if it's not reunification, it could be that that parent is still included in that child's life.
Brooke really talks a lot about the need to engage partners as parents from the very beginning and in an ongoing way. And I think we heard that from the parent perspective too, in multiple stories where you need to have more information, as much information as you can from everyone about what's happening for the child in order to really support the child and the family to the best of your ability.
And having that partnership means that they have more stability, as Brooke pointed out, especially for the children. If they know, hey, mom or dad is going to be able to see me during doctor's appointments. They're going to be there in my life as they work towards whatever they need to. And they don't feel like they have to report whatever foster parent's doing all the time. So it's really a good partnership, getting the parents in on the ground floor of the planning.
It really allows for a unified front to happen from the whole team. And the goal is reunification for cases. The goal is safety. Compliance with a plan that was pre-made and didn't have involvement from the parent or the family doesn't actually achieve safety. It doesn't actually achieve change, where if you're really partnering with people and building relationship, you're helping each other, you're sharing information, you're allowing for things to actually shift and change in a meaningful and long-term way.
Thank you so much for listening today. This podcast is produced by the Butler Institute for Families at the University of Denver with support from Rockmount Sioux and the Family Contact Improvement Partnership. Production by Sarah Roman, story collection by Krista Doty, with support from Carol Wilcox, Emily Houck, and me. I'm Kristen Clark.
Please join us next time where we will discuss holding family contact in the parent home or a home-like environment.